This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
Okay, I am sitting in for Rich Orris, a new grandfather, so please congratulate him next week. Life was a little rough on him in the last couple of days and his first few days as grandparent. My name is Scott Mosby, and this is the KMOX Home Improvement Show, the KFTK Home Improvement Show. For those of you listening simulcast on KFTK, welcome. I hope I live up to Rich Orris's previous example, and I've been on KMOX for a while. I've recently retired. Rich is now taking both shows, and I am honored to fill in for him. And this was pretty much how Rich had imagined the show, that when life happened to he and his family, I could fill in for him and come say hello to the KFTK KMOX listeners. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. You can call here. We've got phone lines 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Lots of things happening. The weather is going to continue being cold for the next couple of days. We do have rain coming next week. So for those of you that have ice on the ground or snow on the ground, it will continue. For those of you that got it up, that were able to scrape and snow shovel early, that's a really good thing. And now any kind of ice melt is a wise thing. Better to put it down before the snow, before the ice. But the reality is here next week, we're going to get precipitation in water form, in rain form, and the ground is just going to be too cold. So as soon as that water hits your driveway, your sidewalk, your front porch, whatever it is, it's going to turn into ice. And for those of you, the high temperatures in the afternoon are going to be in the low 30s. So it may not happen until dusk once the sun gets off the air. Just be aware that we've got some interesting times ahead of us here for the next half week right here in St. Louis. My name's Scott Mosby. I own Mosby Building Arts. I've worked with Rich Orris for 20 years. He's one of the smartest people I know, and very happy to fill in for him. Congratulations to he and his family. Let's get started and talk with Stuart and see what's cooking. Hey, Stuart, good afternoon. Welcome to lunch on KMOX. How can I help?
Hey, Scott. This is Stuart. pleasure and an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
I have a garage floor that has settled over time, and what happens is when it rains or the snow in the cars melts, it pools in front of the entry door into the house. So I didn't, I just was curious for your opinion. Would it be better to try and have it, mud jacked, or would you try and put a drain in of some sort, or would you just go ahead and try and replace it?
Well, number one, once it starts cracking, you can't really mud jack it anymore because you're trying to blow up a balloon that has cracks in it. So, the mud jacking is a pressure lifted thing, really a kind of a neat thing. But it does require kind of a sealed slab that is solid to lift it properly. So I think you're replacing this slab. That being said here, Stuart, also be aware that during times like this, when the snow melts off the car, even with a brand new floor, it will slope toward the garage door, and the bottom of that garage door is just as cold as it can be. So as soon as that liquid snow hits that garage door, sometimes we have problems with garage doors freezing to the floor. So for those of you that are listening, lift up your garage door, dry it off, wipe it with WD-40 or a similar type material, because the snow and the ice don't stick to that, but it can literally freeze your door shut. So the point about the ice building up there at your garage door, even when things are perfect, you're still going to have that kind of situation.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And you'd probably do the new floor as opposed to trying to have a drain, like a slit drain or something like that put in.
Yeah, the issue on driveways, building code-wise, is if you put a drain in, first off, you pretty much have to remove the slab to properly put the drain in. So then you have to put a drain and a pipe and drain it to somewhere. Well, the way the building code interprets that is you could have ice down there, water, salt, oil, gasoline, flammables. So they consider a floor drain in a garage to be a bomb. So putting a drain in a garage sounds like a good idea until you start thinking it through. It's like, well, how will the municipality feel if I start liquid firebombing the front street coming out of my garage if I have a leak in my gas? They don't like that.
I don't think I want to bomb in my garage either. So.
there you go. Okay. So you're better off. Simple is better. Slope the floor to the garage door and then put a little bit of WD-40 on the bottom of that door so it doesn't quite stick to anything.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
All right. Thanks, Stuart. Take care. Good luck through all of this, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KFTK and KMOX. Next up, let's talk with my buddy Dale. Hey, Dale, good afternoon. Welcome to lunchtime here. How can I help you?
Yes, I have a question on these MERV, M-E-R-V filters, the rating on the furnace filters.
Yes.
Like 9, 11, 13, the higher the number, the better the filter and so forth.
Yep.
What is a typical household rating of MERV? What do they generally use in a house, typical house?
Well, more is not always better. Because it's basically a filter fabric that you're holding in front of your mouth. The more filtration it is, the more thoroughly it blocks the air passage. So you're back pressuring or limiting the circulation in your house. So I like MERV filters 7, 8, maybe 9. You get up 11 and 13, you better have one big honking motor fan to drive the circulation, and most furnaces are just not made for those. So beware, especially this time of year when you need a lot of air and a lot of heat moving through that house. You know, you're better off with a 7 MERV because that means it's got bigger. So the lower the number, the bigger the holes are in the fabric. You get up around the 10s and 11s and 12s. First off, they get really pricey. They block the air circulation in your house. They do catch all the particulate, but since you're not blowing a whole lot of air through it anyway because it's a blocking, you're really not filtering the air. So I like 7s, 8s, something like that, and higher than that, you're actually paying money for diminished performance.
Yeah, okay. That's part of my second question. How much it kind of chokes up the filter, the higher the rating, and yes, it would limit the air. But I have a Had an electronic filter. Mm-hmm. I'm not impressed with electronic filters. That's my personal feeling anyway. And I took it out and put in one of those 4-inch regular filters.
Pleats.
It does a good job, I guess. I just wondered if you go with a 4-inch filter, would maybe a higher reading be more permissible as far as not choking it up?
The idea with those accordion filters, those 3- and 4-inch cartridges, they have so much filter area that you're trying to move the same amount of air through, say, 6 square feet of filter media instead of 3 square feet of filter media. So we had electronic filters years ago. They were the greatest thing since sliced bread. Then they required all kinds of maintenance. They were noisy. They popped and crackled. Parts were, getting maintenance on. It was expensive. And then we just realized, if we just do a better job with more filter media, and that's where those accordion filters are. They're kind of the latest and greatest now. And unless you get into a medical challenge, then we can talk about those higher numbers. But, you need the equipment to drive stuff through that filter media. So I love exactly what you have. Those accordion 4-inch filters are the cat's or the bee's knees, as they say. How's that?
Yep, agree 100%. I agree 100% with that. Because my experience, my furnace blower motor was very dirty after a few years with electronic filter. I said, it's not doing the job. So I replaced it with it. Now it's clean, stays clean. So obviously the aircraft is. You answered the question very well.
All right. Thanks, Dale. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. Again, you're in these questions, it just fascinates me how so many you can kind of follow the history of our construction industry, remodeling industry, as we all get smarter together, because we have a great idea. It's like build the house really tight. Sounds good, except the air hanging inside St. Louis in the summertime is 70% full of water in humidity form. Then you get to the winter like this, and more filter is better. Maybe not. Maybe we want a lot of heat circulating through the house. Anyway, 314-436-7900, Scott Mosby at your service here on KFTK and KMOX. It's an honor to be here. I'll be right back.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
And Scott Mosby broadcasting on this chilly Saturday afternoon. It is brisk and the wind is blowing a little bit, and it's not going to get too much warmer here, folks. High temperature today, still well below freezing. This is 97.1 FM Talk and KMOX. Scott Mosby broadcasting as pinch hit in reserve for Rich Orris, who is indisposed with a new grandbaby. Let's go right to the phone lines now, and let's see what's happening with Donald. Hey, Donald, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help today? Hello, Donald, are you there? Did I get the right button? How about, let's try Rick. Hey, Rick, Scott Mosby here. How can I help you?
Hi, Scott. I've talked to you before. We've competed through the years. I just want to call and congratulate you,
Thank you.
You've done a great job, just when you think you know everything, I always learn something from you after 50 years of doing this. I don't know how you cram it all in that head, because there's a lot. Jeez.
Well, thank you.
From foundation to roof, there is just a lot, and with technology changing. I was going to tell you, I don't even think you know if something's brand new on the market. It's called a toilet transporter bag, and you can actually roll to the floor, put a full-size toilet in it, squat down, put the padded straps over your shoulder, walk right out of a house in 3 minutes. You don't have to disassemble the toilet or anything. They just came out. They're amazing for us.
Wow.
Yeah, I wish we had them 50 years ago. bear hugging those darn things, trying to go downstairs. It was terrible.
Well, that's when men were men, Rick.
I guess so.
And they were broken men, too.
I guess. trying to cram them in trash bags and all that stuff. Well, best of luck to you. you know.
All right.
Like I said, it's been great listening to you.
Thanks, Rick. I'll look up the toilet transporter. Sounds like a pretty slick deal.
Yeah, I think it'd be so simple, you know. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. We are live and lively. 97.1 FM Talk, KMOX simulcast. Next up, let's see what's cooking with Nate. Hey, Nate, Scott Mosby here. What can I do for you this fine afternoon?
Hi, Scott. I'm glad I got through so quickly. I've got a very unique problem, and I just wanted to see, get your thoughts on it. I've had several, guys with construction backgrounds look at it, and they're saying they've never seen anything like it. So back in October, we had our roof replaced from a hailstorm, and apparently they bumped the stack that is the exhaust for my furnace. And they bumped it pretty hard, and it disconnected inside my attic.
Oh,
so,
man.
We didn't know that, and so since October, it's been blowing carbon monoxide in my attic.
Yeah.
So when this freeze hit, we started seeing moisture drops on the third floor, ceiling. And so popping our heads up there, what we saw was basically a winter wonderland. It was thick, dense, wet fog and icicles hanging from trusses. Every square inch of roofing material had a thin layer of ice on it. And so obviously we reconnected I could see it instantly, the where the furnace had disconnected from the stack.
Yeah.
So we reconnected that and solved the problem, but now obviously it's melting. And the first warm day, it all pretty much melted. We broke off the big icicles. Mm-hmm. That's what was causing the dampness on the drywall. But my fear is, we can't put any blowers up there. It's too cold. We can't put dehumidifiers up there. It's too cold. It's just a waiting game to see how bad the melt is. So I don't know if mold could form up there because there's good ventilation, with the vents and the fascia and soffit and all that. But just wanted to see what you thought that was going to look like mold-wise or what the future ramifications could be.
Well, we have seen this once before, and Rich Orris has seen it. We've seen snowstorms in attics, and I know exactly. And we we have had this experience, and we stopped by trying for an appointment with a lady, and the lady was in the hospital from carbon monoxide poisoning. So if you're not in the hospital, your attic is well ventilated. So you're actually in a good place. I don't fear, this time of year, if this were summertime, you would have mold because you can't dry it out fast enough. A lot of that moisture is going to leave of its own accord just on ventilating by changing that air, because humidity moves from high to low concentration, and the outside's still drier than the inside. So I don't think you're going to have any real problems. If you do, it will be in the form of discoloration, so you'll see dark something. If you're going to have latent moisture that is just there for too long, then you will grow mold and mildew, but that's going to come with a color. So I think as long as you can see most of the attic, most of the roof sheathing, most of the trusses, most of the insulation, and don't mistake this for dust on the insulation, because the insulation on, blown or bat laying on the floor of an attic still gets covered with dust, and it gets dark and it gets black. So that's not cause for the concern. I think you're in pretty good stead, frankly, because it's just so blasted cold.
Right. So nothing I should do with the blown insulation. It's it's getting wet right now. It's all leaking and dripping on there, but it seems like it's about an inch deep versus, the foot of insulation. So I feel like it's going to dry out all right, but
yeah, it's going to stay in the top part of that insulation. And keep in mind, the further down it gets, the warmer it gets and the more prone to evaporation it is. So I think, if you have a downside consequence to this, you may need to add a little more insulation in the attic as it mats down from the weight of that moisture.
Yeah.
So you're compressing out the air pack pockets that do the insulating part of that fiber or whatever that insulation is. So I think it's
good.
More... Just watch that. But, if you're not dead or in the hospital, your attic's pretty nicely ventilated.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was carbon monoxide till a couple of days ago. And I thought, oh, my gosh, we could have all, we could have died, I guess, if it had gotten that bad. But, we were definitely fortunate.
Yeah, we had a lady who wanted a new front door. We could never get a hold of her. Lo and behold, found out that that's exactly what had happened. She'd had a roofer in 4 months earlier, and she was in her upper 80s. And lo and behold, I think a neighbor talked to Rich. What are you doing snooping around the house so many times? And he told him and said, "Oh, she's in the hospital." And he went up in the attic, and sure enough, pretty much, you know, reconnected it so she could come home.
Okay. Well, Scott, I certainly appreciate the feedback. It's been concerning, so I'm just trying to get as much many opinions as I can on kind of what we're looking at.
If this were July, I'd have a totally different answer for you, because then you don't have dry air outside the house. You have wet air in the attic and wet air outside the house. That attic would remain wet for quite a long time.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye on it, and it was great to hear your opinion on it.
Yep. Don't go to sleep. Keep an eye on it for sure, Nate. But as long you'll know, you'll smell it, you'll see it, and you know when that humidity. You can feel that humidity up in that attic. I'm pretty sure you stick your head up in there. I'm sure you can feel it.
There was a dense fog. It was the strangest thing I've seen. It was it was really bizarre.
You had a nice little terrarium going on up there.
Yeah, I'm just glad we caught it. Thank God for the drips on the ceiling, because we would have never known.
Wow. Amen to that. Well, I'm glad to hear you're up and about. Thanks, Nate.
Yep. I got five kids, and we're all doing well, so thank God we were very fortunate with that.
Yeah. All right,
well,
take care.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Let's take a short pause and come back for more right after this on KMOX 97.1 FM Talk.
The voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Welcome back. Scott Mosby here. Home Improvement. Phone lines wide open for you. Welcome. Thank you. And glad to be here. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Good to talk to you. Good to be back. And chili. Yeah. Next up, let's talk to Victor. Hey, Victor, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help you this fine day?
I had a skylight installed this past summer. It's roughly maybe 2 feet by 4 feet.
Okay.
And framing it in, going from the kitchen ceiling up to the roof, I'm going to say at the highest point is maybe 4 feet, and the shortest might be maybe 4. But the draft that comes through there is unbelievable. Is that normal? Skylight?
No, it's not. If there's a leak, that's a little bit unusual. But skylights, as they connect to the actual roof of the house, they can be. It's not necessarily airtight. So that's one thing, Victor. You may have a draft, but the other thing is that is more common, especially with temperatures like this. You may simply feel the cold air falling out of that skylight tube, if you will, because you have a piece of glass. It's really cold. When you're standing next to a window, that cold air drops and falls down by your feet. So unless you have bare feet, you're not going to feel it. But standing underneath a skylight tube, even if it's pretty well sealed up, you may indeed feel that convection, that cool air being cooled by that glass and then falling down on you. That's probably what's happening there.
Okay. It feels like somebody's up there with a fan. I was wondering if it had been properly installed, because I had to argue with the guy to even insulate it up there. Okay.
Oh, really? That's not a trust builder for me.
Yeah. I'm not going to use them anymore. And then my second question, can smoke detectors go bad? I've replaced the batteries, brand new, but I'm still getting that chirp.
Oh, I promise you, they do go bad. And you may have a bad battery, but frankly, the life on smoke detectors, Victor, and thank you for bringing this up, they have a life of about 5 years, because that media, the thing that senses smoke and that particulate and then makes that chirp and that beep, that stuff really has a life, and it wears out. It's a big deal. So you betcha that it's time to change all of your smoke detectors, most likely.
Okay, because they're 20 years old.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. Please do that. Let me put it this way. You know, for $25 a piece and your life on the line, you know, it's a pretty good risk return deal.
Yes, sir. I would say it is. Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
All right, Victor. You stay warm and stay safe.
I will. Happy retirement. Thank you.
Thank you so much. by now. That's true. As we get into New Year's Eve and the new batteries, if you didn't change all the batteries in your smoke detectors, typically I run around the house on New Year's Day on that morning. It usually takes me a couple days to kind of get my act together. But, you know, I change all the batteries and I check them out to make sure that they're good. But the first place I start is smoke detectors. And, Victor, what you'll discover is because so many of us don't change those batteries on our smoke detectors, you'll find that many of the new ones have backup built-in batteries that don't need to be changed. So your battery will wear out about the same time as the smoke detector safety media will as well. So, you know, that's important. Let's see what's happening with my friend Mark. Hey, Mark, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help you this fine day?
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is... about bathroom sinks. We had a sink that, you know, wasn't used maybe for days, and there was just a really foul smelling odor from the bathroom, and the bathroom hadn't been used. I ended up, drain was going slow, so I took off the, you know, the underneath piping and the P-trap and things, and there was just the, all this black gunk that was in the piping. It was horribly offensive, and so I cleaned all that out with chlorine and rinsed it and put it all back together, and that took care of the drainage problem. But I've heard you speak about using Rudex, even though we're not on a septic system, and I was wondering if I was told correctly that periodically you should use Rudex in your sinks, and what does that do?
Rudex, so it, Metropolitan Sewer District, MSD, or a septic tank has bacteria that breaks down organic waste. Well, all that stuff stuck to the inside of your P-trap is wax from bar soap, wax from shampoo and soap. It's oil from the bodies, toothpaste. So it is all kinds of organic stuff, goo. And Rudex is nothing more than a bacteria that makes... it's actually a makes the bacteria more aggressive, and it breaks down that organic waste faster. And it's a good use for cutting down those odors, but it basically cleans up that black gook. The only stuff it can't really handle is the hair that goes down those traps and drains. Keep in mind here, too, that, you know, Mark, you're going to have that on your P-trap, on your showers and your bathtub and all the other sinks in the house. But I like the Rudex. Just mix it up. I like the granular form. I just put a tablespoon in a big 15-16 ounce glass of warm water, mix it up like chocolate milk, dump it down the toilet, flush it once, leave it alone, and I'll go through the various sinks and might put half of one of those glasses in a P-trap on each, and I'll put, you know, going down the shower, because there's a lot of use for those, I'll put a whole glass of that. But yeah, I like the Rudex because it's kind of a it just rejuvenates the bacteria to eat more and grow faster. So that's all it does is, so what Rudex does for a septic tank is when the honey dippers, you know, when you get your tank pumped, and they pump out all that anaerobic stuff that is kind of dead in the bottom, you have to leave some of that in there so that you have the bacteria charge when the new waste comes in, that bacteria then digests all that, breaks it down in the solids and all. So all the Rudex stuff does is make your pipes cleaner. You know, I mean, for $10 a year, it's kind of seems like, even if it doesn't work, it makes me feel better, $10 worth.
So you do that in all the drainage, like sinks and toilets and showers, shower
yes.
drains? And,
yes.
And,
yeah.
And then how do you let it sit for a period of time, or how do you apply it?
I put it in before I go to bed because I don't want this stuff to get flushed down the toilet. So, I mean, if I flush it down the toilet, the water leaves, but it you know, the first 20 feet of that pipe, it, you know, is going to get scoured out. But where the water slows down, that's where the Rudex sits. And so then your pipe system is closed like a septic tank is. It does have a vent. But I typically just, I don't want that stuff to go too far. I don't want it to go to the sewer. I just want it to sit there in those pipes overnight. So generally before I go to bed or 6 o'clock, you know, if I'm going to sit down and watch TV, all I'm going to do is brush my teeth or something. You know, I'll just dump it down the sinks. And, you know, if I leave for vacation, I try to remember to do that, you know, dump it in before we're going to be gone for a few days. And, you know, so the longer the stuff sits in your pipes, the better off it is.
So when you, the toilet application, when you put it in there, you don't flush the toilet to get it down in the pipe system. You just leave it in the toilet?
No, I do. I do flush it because I want it down on the other side of the P-trap built into that toilet. But,
right.
Yeah, but don't flush it a second time, third time, fourth. You know, so that's the thing where, you know, generally you get up in the in the middle of the night, you flush the toilet. But the point being that you want it just to sit in the pipes and not really rush, you know, all the way out to the street.
I got you. I got you. I had another suggestion offered to me that the large drain in the basement by the heater and humidifier, that kind of thing, that big drain in the one time that backed up and yeah. Someone said that after that sort of cleaned out, and I don't know how they cleaned it out, but they said that to prevent smells from coming up, to, you know, pour hot water down there, gallon or two, and you know, yeah, kind of flush out. But then after you put some water in there, to put some like cooking oil or something on top so the water doesn't evaporate as quickly, and that'll keep the smell down. Is that, there any truth to that?
Yep, sure is. Vegetable oil, just a cupful, you know, or just a capful. You don't want much because it will, you know, the solids, the hair will stick to that oil, but it does indeed work.
Okay, so that might.
The voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Welcome back. Scott Mosby here. Home Improvement. Phone lines wide open for you. Welcome. Thank you. And glad to be here. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Good to talk to you. Good to be back. And chili. Yeah. Next up, let's talk to Victor. Hey, Victor, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help you this fine day?
I had a skylight installed this past summer. It's roughly maybe 2 feet by 4 feet. Okay. And framing it in, going from the kitchen ceiling up to the roof. I'm going to say at the highest point is maybe 4 feet, and the shortest might be maybe four. But the draft that comes through there is unbelievable. Is that normal? Skylight?
No, it's not. If there's a leak, that's a little bit unusual. But skylights, as they connect to the actual roof of the house, they can be. It's not necessarily airtight. So that's one thing, Victor. You may have a draft, but the other thing is that is more common, especially with temperatures like this. You may simply feel the cold air falling out of that skylight tube, if you will, because you have a piece of glass. It's really cold. When you're standing next to a window, that cold air drops and falls down by your feet. So unless you have bare feet, you're not going to feel it. But standing underneath a skylight tube, even if it's pretty well sealed up, you may indeed feel that convection, that cool air being cooled by that glass and then falling down on you. That's probably what's happening there.
Okay. It feels like somebody's up there with a fan. I was wondering if it had been properly installed because I had to argue with the guy to even insulate it up there. Okay.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes,
well,
that's
not a trust builder for me.
Yeah. I'm not going to use them anymore. And then my second question, can smoke detectors go bad? I've replaced the batteries, brand new, but I'm still getting that chirp.
Oh, I promise you, they do go bad. And you may have a bad battery, but frankly, the life on smoke detectors, Victor, and thank you for bringing this up, they have a life of about 5 years because that media, the thing that senses smoke and that particulate and then makes that chirp and that beep, that stuff really has a life, and it wears out. It's a big deal. So you betcha that it's time to change all of your smoke detectors, most likely.
Okay, because they're 20 years old.
Oh, my goodness, yes, sir. Please do that. Yeah. I mean, okay. I mean, let me put it this way, you know, for $25 a piece and your life on the line, you know, it's a pretty good risk return deal.
Yes, sir. I would say it is. Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
All right, Victor. Stay warm and stay safe.
I will. Happy retirement. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye now. That's true. As we get into New Year's Eve and the new batteries, if you didn't change all the batteries in your smoke detectors, typically I run around the house on New Year's Day on that morning. It usually takes me a couple days to kind of get my act together, but you know, I change all the batteries and I check them out to make sure that they're good. But the first place I start is smoke detectors. And Victor, what you'll discover is because so many of us don't change those batteries in our smoke detectors, you'll find that many of the new ones have backup built-in batteries that don't need to be changed. So your battery will wear out about the same time as the smoke detector safety media will as well. So, you know, that's important. Let's see what's happening with my friend Mark. Hey, Mark, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help you this fine day?
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about bathroom sinks. We had a sink that, you know, wasn't used maybe for days, and there was just a really foul smelling odor from the bathroom, and the bathroom hadn't been used. Yeah. I ended up, drain was going slow, so I took off the, you know, the underneath piping and the P-trap and things, and there was just all this black gunk that was in the piping. Yeah. It was horribly offensive, and so I cleaned all that out with chlorine and rinsed it and put it all back together, and that took care of the drainage problem. But I've heard you speak about using Rudex, even though we're not on a septic system, and I was wondering if I was told correctly that periodically you should use Rudex in your sinks, and what does that do?
Rudex, so Metropolitan Sewer District, MSD, or a septic tank has bacteria that breaks down organic waste. Well, all that stuff stuck to the inside of your P-trap is wax from bar soap, wax from shampoo and soap. It's oil from the bodies, toothpaste. So it is all kinds of organic stuff, goo. And Rudex is nothing more than a bacteria that makes... it's actually a makes the bacteria more aggressive, and it breaks down that organic waste faster. And it's a good use for cutting down those odors, but it basically cleans up that black gook. The only stuff it can't really handle is the hair that goes down those traps and drains. Keep in mind here, too, that, you know, Mark, you're going to have that on your P-trap, on your showers and your bathtub and all the other sinks in the house. But I like the Rudex. Just mix it up. I like the granular form. I just put a tablespoon in a big 15-16 ounce glass of warm water, mix it up like chocolate milk, dump it down the toilet, flush it once, leave it alone, and I'll go through the various sinks and might put half of one of those glasses in a P-trap on each, and I'll put, you know, going down the shower, because there's a lot of use for those, I'll put a whole glass of that. But yeah, I like the Rudex because it's kind of a it just rejuvenates the bacteria to eat more and grow faster. So that's all it does is, so what Rudex does for a septic tank is when the honey dippers, you know, when you get your tank pumped, they pump out all that anaerobic stuff that is kind of dead in the bottom. You have to leave some of that in there so that you have the bacteria charge when the new waste comes in, that bacteria then digests all that, breaks it down in the solids and all. So all the Rudex stuff does is make your pipes cleaner. You know, I mean, for $10 a year, it's kind of seems like, even if it doesn't work, it makes me feel better, $10 worth.
So you do that in all the drainage, like sinks and toilet and showers, shower
yes.
drains? And,
yes.
And,
yeah.
And then how do you let it sit for a period of time, or how do you apply it?
I put it in before I go to bed because I don't want this stuff to get flushed down the toilet. So, I mean, if I flush it down the toilet, the water leaves, but it, you know, the first 20 feet of that pipe it, you know, is going to get scoured out. But where the water slows down, that's where the Riddex sits. And so then your pipe system is closed like a septic tank is. It does have a vent. But I typically just, I don't want that stuff to go too far. I don't want it to go to the sewer. I just want it to sit there in those pipes overnight. So generally before I go to bed or 6 o'clock, you know, if I'm going to sit down and watch TV, all I'm going to do is brush my teeth or something. You know, I'll just dump it down the sinks. And, you know, if I leave for vacation, I try to remember to do that, you know, dump it in before we're going to be gone for a few days. And, you know, so the longer the stuff sits in your pipes, the better off it is.
So when you, the toilet application, when you put it in there, you don't flush the toilet to get it down in the pipe system. You just leave it in the toilet?
No, I do flush it because I want it down on the other side of the P-trap built into that toilet. But,
right.
Yeah, but don't flush it a second time, third time, fourth, you know, so that's the thing where, you know, generally you get up in the in the middle of the night, you flush the toilet. But the point being that you want it just to sit in the pipes and not really rush, you know, all the way out to the street.
I got you. I had another suggestion offered to me that the large drain in the basement by the heater and humidifier, that kind of thing, that big drain in the... One time that backed up and yeah. Someone said that after that sort of cleaned out, and I don't know how they cleaned it out, but they said that to prevent smells from coming up, to, you know, pour hot water down there, gallon or two, and you know, yeah, kind of flush it out. But then after you put some water in there, to put some like cooking oil or something on top so the water doesn't evaporate as quickly, and that'll keep the smell down. Is that... there any truth to that?
Yep, sure is. Vegetable oil, just a exactly. cupful, you know, or just a capful. You don't want much because it will, you know, the solids, the hair will stick to that oil, but it does indeed work.
Okay, so that might be a second remedy as well.
Yeah, well, in your basement, as long as you're getting water going into that drain on a regular basis, maybe from your furnace or your washer dryer or whatever is going in, it's the floor drain that doesn't have anything going to it. That's where that capful of vegetable oil is really important, because that, you know, in the wintertime, that trap will evaporate in, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So you can get a lot of sewer gas. Yeah.
Okay. Well, on the Riddex application to the sinks and drains and toilets, how frequent would you do that?
Typically, when I'm not doing it, I do it about every 2 months for the first year, and then after that, it's, you know, whenever I feel like it. You know, twice a year is plenty, because it's. But on the first year, I typically, you know, do it every month or every 2 months, and I when I'm getting ready to go to bed, it's like, all right, I'll spend 5 or 10 minutes and I'll dump some Riddex. So, yeah.
Well, since I had that one sink that had all of that gunk, and it was a lot to clean out, should I do that with the other sinks as well, or will the Riddex chemically kind of take care of it?
No, you need to clean that stuff out. You need like a bottle washer brush to scrub the inside, so you really need to clean those P-traps like you did the other ones. Where you can't get to it, like a shower and a bathtub, you know, do the best you can, but pull out if you can. You know, they have those serrated things you buy at the hardware store in the plumbing department that just pulls out the gunk and the hair, so you pull that out and then dump your Riddex in, because the Riddex really won't do anything with that hair.
I see. Yeah. Well, great information. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Mark. Take care, my friend.
All right. You too, sir.
All right. Take a short break here. Scott Mosby on 97.1 FM Talk and KMOX. I'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, back together, Scott Mosby at your service. KMOX and 97.1 FM Talk. We are simulcasting now, sitting in for Rich Orris, new grandparent. Congratulations to Rich and family. Happy to hear all that, and honored to pinch hit for Rich. And back at it again. Let's go right to the phone lines and talk to Lou. Hey, Lou, Scott Mosby here. How can I find help you today?
Yes, hi, Scott. How you doing? Congratulations on your retirement, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
But, yeah, I've been listening to you guys for, you know, well over 30 years. Since the 90s, I guess it is, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's true. Yes, sir.
Yeah, quick question. Basically, we had the house for about 4 years now, and I was trying to actually look at some of the I've noticed some of the, you know, some of the cracks. I'm not real knowledgeable about this kind of stuff, but I noticed that the there's been some mold on the walls, on the one side of the house, I guess from moisture getting in there. But I was wondering, the cracks, if that has anything to do with the attic at all, or is that just from maybe the gutters or soffits with maybe the, you know, the humidity levels there? Usually it happens worse in the summer.
Yeah. How old is the house, Lou?
Well, the house is, it was built in 1925, so I'm guessing it's on 100 years old next year here, 99 years old now.
Yeah,
it was renovated 4 years ago before we had actually had the house and got into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, probably the cracks that you're looking at, I suspect they, do you know if they took the old plaster down, 1925, that house would have been built with plaster? And then likely
that I'm not sure of. I'm not sure at all, because we haven't looked into it, but it's become an increasing problem. I guess some of those weren't there 4 years ago.
Right. Well, first off, 1925 lumber, how many, is it a two-story house?
It's a one-story bungalow that is very small, three bedroom. It does have a basement, but it's not a two-story house.
Okay. I think you may just have plaster underneath your drywall. There's a possibility that when they renovated that house, they just put drywall over the plaster. What that means is there's, you know, 3/4 of an inch of something behind that plaster. And what happens is when the house moves, and it does, you know, just like you and I, you know, our skin gets dry and our skin gets moist and it gets bigger and smaller and all that. I think you're experiencing some of those changes in humidity that we just have here in the Midwest. But if that drywall is put on over plaster, there will be much more movement. You really have to secure that drywall. When you're going over plaster, it's fine to do, but you just have to use a boatload more fasteners and really stick it to the framing. You know, otherwise it just rides around on the plaster and it can crack a little bit. So,
so it's nothing, no problems in that sense then, Scott, with the, you know, I think about that. I look at cracks and I start thinking about foundation, you know, like stuff like Helitech works on and stuff like that.
Yeah, you would see that down in the basement so much on that. You know, it can be, but it's unlikely. Lou, you'd get the heebie-jeebies being down in your basement if it had something going on upstairs on those cracks. Now, if you look at your foundation cracks, if you go downstairs, and especially on the wall where you're seeing it, if you have cracks that are going up and down, look at the width of the cracks. If they're tight at the bottom and open at the top, that's bad. But if the crack is the same width top to bottom, it's really just a shrinkage crack and not a big movement thing. But, you know, really, on a one-story house. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a one-story. Yeah, just a bungalow, three-bedroom.
Yeah. One-story.
I don't think that's a big deal.
But I appreciate your time. I'll take a look at that and go further with that.
Okay. Good luck, Lou.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye now. Next up, let's talk to my friend Mike. Hey, Mike, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help?
Hey, Scott. Happy retirement. Man, that was a short one. One week.
Wasn't it, brother?
Listen, poof. Yeah, it was. Hey, quick question. I went over to help an elderly friend just put an overfill. Her overfill tube was coming out of the toilet. And then when I got over there and took care of that, when it was real cold last week, she flushed the toilet, said, listen to this. And when she flushed it, you could hear gurgling through the vent or whatever. And is this something that can happen when it's frozen? And like the next day, it kind of went away. So how do vent pipes get frozen, condensate or snow? And then I guess I could hear it coming out of a tub that she very rarely uses, but I just ran hot water and everything, hoping that get some hot water moving through the vent, and the next day she said it was fine. But I was just wondering what occurs with that, and I'll listen to you.
Well, Mike, you generally just have some sort of a blockage in the vent, whatever's in there, maybe a critter, a mouse, or a leaf or something. You've got moisture going out of there all the time. The top half of that vent is really cold. It goes through the attic. It opens up to the environment. So, you know, once that pipe goes past the ceiling line into the attic, it gets really cold and you can get frost. You know, so if you have a leaf crossways in a vent, you can block enough flow with some frozen humidity in one of those pipes, you can get the gurgling. So I would clean out your vents from the roof down if you can. That's a little bit of a professional thing, but I think you're having some sort of a blockage in your ventilating pipe.
Okay, and she said she did, you know, she had never heard it before this when it got real cold, and then, like I said, the next day or two, and now it's fine. So, but we'll go ahead and do that. And I was just wondering, you know, if it's something that commonly happens with the cold weather, and like you said, the frozen on those vent pipes, because I noticed her vent pipe sticks out real short. It's an older house than, say, mine, which is a newer house.
It can It can be problematic because you get a little snowfall, a little bit of ice in there. You know, and it can get more plugged, even though it's not fully blocked. All right, thanks. Gosh, I'm running out of time. My apologies, Ed. I'm not going to have enough time to get on this. House Wrap is a good product. I like to see people use it. They have to be installed very responsibly around the windows and the doors. So the details for putting windows and doors in House Wrap is very important. If you're putting an insulated sheathing over the exterior of your house, you have to be careful. Maybe not use the House Wrap because the whole wall has to be treated as one system. Anyway, folks, congratulations to Rich Orris, Scott Mosby here signing off, and see you next time Rich is away. Back after this.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, back together, Scott Mosby at your service, KMOX and 97.1 FM Talk. We are simulcasting now, sitting in for Rich Orris, new grandparent. Congratulations to Rich and family. Happy to hear all that, and honored to pinch hit for Rich. And back at it again. Let's go right to the phone lines and talk to Lou. Hey, Lou, Scott Mosby here. How can I help you today?
Yes, hi, Scott. How you doing? Congratulations on your retirement, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, I've been listening to you guys for, you know, well over 30 years. Since the 90s, I guess it is, right? Since
that 10-year happened. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's true. Yes, sir.
Yeah, quick question. Basically, we had the house for about 4 years now, and I was trying to actually look at some of the, I've noticed some of the, you know, some of the cracks. I'm not real knowledgeable about this kind of stuff, but I noticed that the, there's been some mold on the walls, on the one side of the house, I guess from moisture getting in there, but I was wondering the cracks, if that has anything to do with the attic at all, or is that just from maybe the gutters or soffits with maybe the, you know, the humidity levels there. Usually it happens worse in the summer.
Yeah. How old is the house, Lou?
Well, the house is, it was built in 1925, so I'm guessing it's on 100 years old next year here, 99 years old now.
It was
renovated 4 years ago before we had actually had the house and got into it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, probably the cracks that you're looking at, I suspect they do you know if they took the old plaster down, 1925, that house would have been built with plaster? And then likely
that I'm not sure of. I'm not sure at all because we haven't looked into it, but it's become an increasing problem. I guess some of those weren't there 4 years ago.
Right. Right. Well, first off, 1925 lumber, how many, is it a two-story house?
It's a one-story bungalow that is very small, three bedroom. It does have a basement. But it's not a two-story house.
Okay. I think you may just have plaster underneath your drywall. There's a possibility that when they renovated that house, they just put drywall over the plaster. What that means is there's, you know, 3/4 of an inch of something behind that plaster. And what happens is when the house moves, and it does, you know, just like you and I, you know, our skin gets dry and our skin gets moist and it gets bigger and smaller and all that. I think you're experiencing some of those changes in humidity that we just have here in the Midwest. But if that drywall is put on over plaster, there will be much more movement. You really have to secure that drywall. When you're going over plaster, it's fine to do, but you just have to use a boatload more fasteners and really stick it to the framing. You know, otherwise it just rides around on the plaster and it can crack a little bit. So,
right. So it's nothing, no problems in that sense then, Scott, with the, you know, I think about that. I look at cracks and I start thinking about foundation, you know, like stuff like Helitech works on and stuff like that.
Yeah, you would see that down in the basement so much on that. You know, it can be, but it's unlikely. Lou, you'd get the heebie-jeebies being down in your basement if it had something going on upstairs on those cracks. Now, if you look at your foundation cracks, if you go downstairs, and especially on the wall where you're seeing it, if you have cracks that are going up and down, look at the width of the cracks. If they're tight at the bottom and open at the top, that's bad. But if the crack is the same width top to bottom, it's really just a shrinkage crack and not a big movement thing. But, you know, really, on a one-story house. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a one-story. Yeah, it's just a bungalow, 3-bedroom.
Yeah. One-story.
I don't think that's a big deal.
But I appreciate your time. Yeah, I'll take a look at that and go further with that.
Okay. Good luck, Lou.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye now. Next up, let's talk to my friend Mike. Hey, Mike, good afternoon. Welcome. How can I help?
Hey, Scott, happy retirement. Man, that was a short one.
Wasn't it, brother?
Listen, poof. Yeah, it was. Hey, quick question. I went over to help an elderly friend just put an overfill. Her overfill tube was coming out of the toilet. And then when I got over there and took care of that, when it was real cold last week, she flushed the toilet. She said, listen to this. And when she flushed it, you could hear gurgling through the vent or whatever. And is this something that can happen when it's frozen? And like the next day, it kind of went away. So how do vent pipes get frozen, condensate or snow? And then I guess I could hear it coming out of a tub that she very rarely uses, but I just ran hot water and everything, hoping that get some hot water moving through the vent. And the next day she said it was fine, but I was just wondering what occurs with that. And I'll listen to you.
Well, Mike, you generally just have some sort of a blockage in the vent, whatever's in there, maybe a critter, a mouse, or a leaf or something. You've got moisture going out of there all the time. The top half of that vent is really cold. It goes through the attic. It opens up to the environment. So, you know, once that pipe goes past the ceiling line into the attic, it gets really cold and you can get frost. You know, so if you have a leaf crossways in a vent, you can block enough flow with some frozen humidity in one of those pipes, you can get the gurgling. So I would clean out your vents from the roof down if you can. That's a little bit of a professional thing, but I think you're having some sort of a blockage in your ventilating pipe.
Okay, and she said she had never heard it before when it got real cold, and then like I said the next day or two, and now it's fine. So but we'll go ahead and do that. And I was just wondering, you know, if it's something that commonly happens with the cold weather and, like you said, the frozen on those vent pipes, because I noticed her vent pipe sticks out real short. It's an older house than say mine, which is a newer house.
It can. Okay. It can be problematic because you get a little snowfall, a little bit of ice in there. You know, and it can get more plugged, even though it's not fully blocked. All right, thanks. Gosh, I'm running out of time. My apologies, Ed. I'm not going to have enough time to get on this. House wrap is a good product. I like to see people use it. They have to be installed very responsibly around the windows and the doors. So the details for putting windows and doors in house wrap is very important. If you're putting an insulated sheathing over the exterior of your house, you have to be careful. Maybe not use the house wrap because the whole wall has to be treated as one system. Anyway, folks, congratulations to Rich Orris, Scott Mosby here signing off, and see you next time Rich is away.